This past November, as we began to brainstorm on this series, Loving God, Loving Others, and Reaching Out, I sent in church-wide email and asked if any individuals had thoughts, suggestions, questions related to the topic of loving God, loving others, and reaching out. And I want to read to you this morning an excerpt from one of those emails. I do have permission from this individual, even though I will not be sharing their name. Here's what the email said. I think one of the struggles that a lot of Christians have is how to balance everything that comes into our lives. We want to love God. We want to reach out and minister to family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, and to serve in ministries that need our help. And we're doing it. But we need to work full-time, take classes, go to school or meetings for our jobs, spend quality time with our kids and be involved with their lives, build a solid and loving relationship with their spouse, serve on committees or ministries, help in the nursery, teach a Sunday school class, entertain and get to know folks in our ABF and minister to the many needs in our adult Bible fellowships, minister to our neighbors, be at church on Sunday mornings, help with Awana, help with Bible school, help in the kitchen committee, and be praying at prayer meeting on Sunday nights. We need to be involved in our community, get to know our neighbors, and build relationships with them. And all of this needs to be done after we get home from work at 5:30 or weekends during the time we are not in church Sunday mornings. But we are not to get stressed out because stress is not healthy. Oh, and then we need to spend time reading our Bible and building our relationship with God. And we're told that we need to exercise every day and make sure we take a vacation with our family each year. Anybody worn out? Where does the balance come in? How do we do all of this? How do we do it and still honor God? What should our priority be when there are so many avenues pulling us in so many directions? So then this individual goes on to say, I'm 55 years old, and I think most of my life it has been trying to balance all of the demands that come into my life. Don't get me wrong, I want to minister. I love using the gifts and abilities that God has given me. I love helping people, taking care of people, getting to know people, ministering here at CBC. I love this church, the people in this church, and I'm truly excited about what God is doing here. But saying no doesn't work because I feel pulled by all the needs that are here in a church of this size. And honestly, it's not just a large church. We were involved in a church of 60 people before we moved to Lancaster County, and the needs in a small church are just as demanding, just on a smaller scale. I can and do enjoy doing all of these things, but it makes life nuts, and I don't think that honors God by all of us running around all of the time. But then again, there are so many needs, and it's hard to reach this community and the families of this church if everyone doesn't help and still have balance in their lives. I know I'm not alone in all of this because so many people these days are feeling rushed, overwhelmed, and stressed by all of the demands in our lives. Anybody relate to all of that? Yeah, a lot of us can. We're overextended, overcommitted. We rush from one thing to the next. We're busy, busy, busy. I'm not against working hard. I'm not against long days. I'm not against commitment. I'm a Lancaster County farm boy, and I appreciate and value those who work hard, put in long days, and are committed to serving God and others. But here's the problem. Our busyness absolutely destroys relationships. Not only do we not have time for our families, but we don't have time to nurture and grow in our most important relationship with Jesus Christ. What is the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. That's what God calls us to. If there's one thing we need to get right, that's it. But we're so busy. I once heard it said, if Satan can't make you sin, he will make you busy. And the commandment to love your God with all of your heart, we want to take seriously here at CBC. My prayer and hope is that each of us would live our lives rooted from a deep, abiding relationship with the God of the universe. So if you're here this morning and you desire to grow in your love relationship with God, but recognize busyness is hindering your walk with God, take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. The Gospel of Luke is found in the New Testament, which is the back portion of your Bible. The first book of the New Testament is Matthew, second is Mark, the third book is Luke. We're going to be in Luke chapter 10, and you're going to see that busyness is not a new problem. We're going to see some dialogue between two sisters, Martha and Mary, and their interaction with Jesus. Follow along as I read. Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Do you see what's going on in this passage? Jesus strolls into town. Martha and Mary open their home to him. We get the feeling or sense that Martha's a type A personality. She was scurrying all around the house, trying to get everything ready for Jesus. She was probably getting his room ready, along with preparing dinner and cleaning the house. Mary, on the other hand, what's she doing? She's graciously sitting at the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine what must have been going through Martha's mind? What was she thinking? She was probably thinking, "Mary, you're so lazy. I can't believe it's so rude of you to sit down at the feet of Jesus and let all of this work for me." She was probably also thinking, "Boy, I bet Jesus is impressed with me. I bet Jesus thinks I'm better than Mary." But then her thoughts probably went back to, "This is rude." And she could just see how she was starting to chew on, and just her temperature was beginning to rise as she saw Mary sitting there, listening and interacting with Jesus, leaving her to do all of the work. And finally her frustration builds and she blurts out, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." It's a scenario that plays out pretty regularly in my home. I honestly think that Jesus felt sorry for Martha. He wasn't speaking words of condemnation, but he felt sorry for her. I'm sure she was surprised, probably even shocked, by his response to her question, to her request. He says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." how many of us are like Martha. We get so caught up in all of the demands, all of the things that need to be done, and we forget what is most important: to sit at the feet of Jesus, to love him with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our minds. I want to give to you a foundational principle for the Christian life that I think is the message of this passage. If you're taking notes, I want to encourage you to follow along. But it's this: in order for us to grow in our love relationship with God, we must say no to what is good and choose what is best. And what is best? Sitting at the Lord's feet. We must say no to what is good. So many of us have allowed a lot of good things to fill our lives, to fill our schedules, to be on our calendars. And all of those good things keep us from what is best. Not only does busyness and overcommitment not allow for us to have time to spend with God, but many of us are too exhausted and distracted when we sit down to have our quiet times and to connect with him. The question this morning is, why are we so busy? Why do we have trouble saying no? Most of us understand that the greatest commandment is to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Many of us are very familiar with this passage. We've attempted and tried to apply it to our lives. But over time, busyness fills our lives, fills our schedules. Why are we so busy? Why do we have trouble saying no? I believe that the answer to that question is critical. I don't think the problem is because we're not disciplined enough. Certainly discipline helps. But the problem goes beyond lack of discipline. Some of you might say, well, the problem is our fast-paced culture. You know what? We do live in a very fast-paced culture. But the root of the problem is not the culture in which we live. Some of you say, it's because of the demands and circumstances on my life. That is not the root problem either. The root problem why we're busy is found within us. The problem is us. The problem is our hearts. Let me give you three or four reasons this morning why I believe we're too busy. The first reason is that we serve man, not God. Look with me at Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Take a look at this verse. Think it through with me. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I am absolutely convinced that many of us are too busy because we're man pleasers. We don't want to disappoint others. We want people to think good about us. We worship our reputation. We're fearful that if we don't measure up, people will reject us. We say yes to too many things, not because God is asking us to, but because we're too concerned what others think. Let me say that again. We say yes to too many things, not because God is asking us to, but because we're too concerned what others think. My guess is that many of you have said yes to various commitments this past week, not because you had a sense in your spirit that God was asking you to say yes, but because you felt obligated to. You felt like, what will they think about me if I say no? What will be their reaction if I say no? What are the consequences? What are the rejections? When you and I are too concerned about winning the approval of others. We begin to serve them and not God. I believe this is at the heart for some of us on why we're so busy. We're more concerned about the approval of those around us than of God. Can you see that that's a heart issue? Can you see, let's go one step further, that's a sin issue? When we value what someone here thinks of us more than what God thinks of us. You see, we can only have one Lord, one Master. And if we're trying to please people rather than God, we have it backwards. As I lay out these reasons why we're busy, I'm not saying that this is the reason for all of us. We should pose this as a question. Each of us should ask ourselves, is part of the reason I'm so busy because I'm pleasing people more than God? Take a look at the quote in your handout this morning underneath reason number one. We don't want to disappoint others. Many of us want to please other people and not disappoint them. This is good and normal. Let me say that again. This is good and normal. However, the desire can quickly run amok and become an idolatrous desire in which our goal is to never disappoint. What seems like a desire to not disappoint can mask the idolatrous desire to have everyone be pleased with us. Another reason why some of us may be so busy is reason number two, is that we have worldly priorities. We have worldly priorities. Look with me at James chapter 4, verse 4. A very bold statement. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. You taken back by that phrase, you adulterous people? Where does that come from? What's the context? Well, think about it. The Bible paints the picture of Jesus being our what? Being our bridegroom. Because we are the bride of Christ. It's who we are. That's our identity as believers. The bride of Christ. And many of us are more in love with the things of this world than we are with our groom, Jesus. We're having an affair. You and I are busy. You want to really find out what's important in your life? Look at your schedule. You and I are having an affair with the world if we love sports more than we love God. Is there anything wrong with sports? No. But what happens if we're more passionate, more consumed with sports than we are about God? Again, I'm a big Penn State football fan. But sometimes Penn State football becomes an idol in my life. I begin to have an affair with Penn State football. I begin to become more passionate about Penn State football. I begin to neglect my spiritual life because of Penn State football. When that happens, it's an indication to me that Penn State football has become an idol in my heart. Some of us might be having an affair with the world because we love money and our possessions more than we love God. We are so consumed with the material possessions. We're so consumed with our bank accounts. We're so consumed with our retirements. That's what we think about. That's what we focus on. And when we start focusing on money and material possessions more than God, we're having an affair. Let me give one more example. If we love our hobbies more than we love God, we're having an affair. Here again, sometimes this is the case for me. I love hunting, fishing, being outdoors. Nothing wrong with that. Good things, gifts from the Lord. But when I begin to value that, when my life begins to be consumed, when I know in my heart that is what I'm most passionate about, it's crossed the line and it becomes an affair. the end of the service, we're going to play a song. And in that song, it says this: anything I put before my God is an idol. Anything I want with all of my heart is an idol. Anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol. Anything that I give all of my love to is an idol. We must not worship something that's not even worth it. Some of us are so busy because our values and our priorities reflect worldly, idolatrous hearts. The third reason that I believe some of us are too busy is because we overestimate our importance. Now, some of you might be saying, excuse me, Jeff, how does that have to do with busyness? Follow my train of thought. Let's look at Isaiah 46, 9 through 11. Because we need to understand, as we navigate through life, who God is, who we are in context with God. These verses give us a glimpse. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. As you and I navigate through life, we need to understand that there is a sovereign God of the universe. His purposes and plans are going to be worked out in our lives, in our families, in our ministries. And many of us live as if the outcome depends upon us rather than the outcome depending upon God. Here again, it's a fine line. Yes, we need to be faithful to what God calls us to. But ultimately, you and I need to rest in the fact that the outcome doesn't depend upon us. Let me tell you how that flushes out in my life. I can begin to believe the lie that the success and failure or the health and growth of this church depends on Jeff Burkholder. When I start believing that lie, my life will be consumed with all the things that need to get done. I will never be able to say no to things in my to-do list. I will never be able to walk away from the computer. I would never be able to walk away from my office and go home. But I'm able to do that when I understand who I am in light of who God is. When I understand the outcome doesn't ultimately depend upon me. All I need to do is figure out what being faithful looks like. Louis Giglio captures this well in his book, I Am Not, But I Know I Am. Take a look at the quote underneath reason number 3. You know, the weight of trying to make yourself out to be bigger than you are, of trying to figure out how to run your life on your own, of always trying to determine the outcome, control the relationship, close the deal, run the show, hold it all together, know the future, protect your interest, build your kingdom, the weight of playing the role of God in your life and the lives of those around you. Many of us are too busy because we falsely believe the outcome of the situations and circumstances ultimately depend on us. We have too high of a view of the importance of man. Let me give you one more. It's not in your notes, but I think it is critical. Reason number 4. You get a chance to jot it down. I encourage you to think about it. Some of us are too busy because our worth and value is connected to what we do. My hunch is that Martha was one of those individuals. If we come back full circle to the story of Martha and Mary. Martha was one of those individuals that her worth, her value, her significance came from what she accomplished, how she performed. Many of us have allowed our significance, our value, and our worth to be connected with our performance, how productive we are. Can you see the bondage that that is in? If my worth and my value is connected to my performance, I have to get it right every time. I have to be in control. It's like stepping on a treadmill, but you can't get off. Where does our value and our significance and worth need to come from? From our identity in Christ. We have value because we are the child of God, because we're loved and accepted through Jesus Christ, because the God of the universe has a purpose and plan for us. Our value and worth and significance comes from who we are, not what we do. It's what Martha got backwards. Martha was getting her significance from what she was doing. What's more important to God? What we do or who we are? It's who we are. Honestly, He doesn't need us. If He could speak this world into existence, He doesn't need us. He's much more concerned about who we are than what we do. The solution is found in Christ. But I think a verse that captures it well, and you say, oh, that's how's sort of seems like a simplistic answer. Take a look at 1 John 1:9. Give you something to walk away with this morning. If you're here and you're being convicted, I don't want you to walk away feeling beat up or condemned. There's absolutely no reason for that. What we need to do if we're being convicted this morning is to confess our sin, to say, yes, God, there is idols in my heart. Yes, I am a people pleaser. Yes, my value, my worth is placed in the wrong thing. Confess our sins. That's our job. That's all we need to do. What's God's job? Is to forgive us and to purify us. If we go back to the notes, we can unpack 1 John 1:9. Confess our sin. Thank God for the forgiveness in Jesus. Ask Him to change our hearts. Because as He changes our hearts, it's going to be reflected in our values and our priorities and our schedules. And we need to love God with what? With all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our souls. I want to take the next 3 to 4 minutes to just quiet our hearts and to reflect on these verses. We're going to play a song that gives you the opportunity to reflect and allow God to speak to your hearts. Make room for the one who deserves it. Let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, sometimes we like what You whisper into our hearts and minds. Lord, sometimes what You whisper into our hearts and minds makes us uncomfortable. It convicts us. Lord, Your Spirit exposes what's in our heart by Your Word. And so this morning, Lord, if You've been speaking, if You've been convicting, if You've been exposing, Lord, I pray that You would help my brothers and sisters to know that Your heart for them is good. You know what's best for them. That they would confess the sin in their heart. Lord, that they would not leave here under condemnation or guilt, but that they would leave here thankful for Jesus and for the cross and for the forgiveness that we have. Lord, we pray that You would help us to leave here this morning, not only with a clearer picture of our hearts, but with a deeper appreciation for Jesus and His death and resurrection and what it means to us each and every day. Lord, we pray that you would change and transform our hearts so that we would be individuals, so that we would be a body of believers that would love you with all of our heart, soul, and mind. That people would be able to see you being revealed and reflected in our lives. That they would be able to see that our hearts reflect your hearts. Our values, our priorities reflect your values. Do that work for the sake of your name and for the sake of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.